QualityPlusConsulting.com.
Support for classical music on WGTD comes from Piasecki Funeral Home. The staff at Piasecki Funeral Home can help you plan a meaningful funeral or memorial service. They consider it an honor to serve families in their community since 1931. KenoshaFuneralHome.com.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Jeff Rasmussen, a retired Racine Unified teacher and administrator who currently serves as president of the Racine Area Retired Educators Association, Steve Brown, a retired professor of educational leadership, and former Kenosha Unified School Superintendent Joe Manji. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joe Manji, Troy McDonald, and Adeline Green for Gateway Radio WGTD 91.1 HD. And this is Education Matters, our Saturday morning program that features leaders in our community, the heroes and heroines who are making a difference, making our world a better place for all of us. We thank everyone for tuning in to us today, our listeners, for giving us the gift of your precious time and the gift of your support. Thanks to everyone in Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, Lake Geneva, and I think Troy has mentioned even Zion and Waukegan. So we wish you a wonderful holiday season. And we thank you for tuning in. And today, we are delighted to have with us Mrs. Adeline Green, a longtime administrator with the Kenosha County government and one of the original founders of Kindness Wink and the leader, the spiritual leader of the Coalition for Dismantling Racism in Kenosha and the leader of the highest honor. And together with her husband, Daryl Green, and many others, they've led the way to promote diversity, racial equity, cultural awareness, leadership, bringing the community together to fight racism and discrimination in all of its forms. So Adeline, you continue to be a spiritual leader for all of us. You're a heroine for me. So welcome, and you're going to talk about Courageous Conversations, the Coalition for Dismantling Racism, Kindness Week, and if we have a chance, the book club that you've initiated. So, Adeline, the Coalition for Dismantling Racism, what do you see? Share your thoughts in the last few months, all of the things that you've seen, the progress, the lack of progress. What are you seeing out there that you'd like to share?
Well, first of all, thank you, Joe, for the invitation to be on this broadcast this morning or this afternoon. And as you said, I've been a part of the Coalition for Dismantling Racism since its inception in 1996. We have existed in this community for 25 years come January of 2021. Wow. I think many people know that the Coalition for Dismantling Racism was started under the leadership of the late Reverend Olin Arrington Jr. Kindness Week was his idea, and it sprung from a need to bring the community together and celebrate the diversity within our community, which brings strength to the community. We know we have differences, but those differences can be overcome through, you know, the commonalities that we share. And so in January of 1997, we launched Kindness Week in Kenosha. And Kindness Week was intended to celebrate the courageous acts of kindness that are done by students, adults, and organizations within Kenosha that helps to make the community better. We have continued having a celebration of kindness where we concentrate on students primarily and their courageous acts in the Kenosha Unified School District, as well as some of the Western County schools. These events that we have during Kindness Week are a community effort. We involve KUSD, we involve the colleges and universities, We involve the faith community. We involve community-based organization in this celebration of community. Most of our events, of course, have been in person in the past, but with the pandemic that is creating all sorts of challenges for all of us, we are having a virtual celebration of kindness in 2021. 2021 represents the 25th year of kindness and the coalition as an entity in Kenosha. And so we have a virtual schedule of events that we have planned for 2021. And I'll just mention some of them. On Saturday, January 16th, it will be our kickoff event. And in the past, this event has been a breakfast. We called it a community unity breakfast. And that's where we brought the community together to break bread, celebrate our students, and all the good things that are happening in the community. Because we can't get together in person, we are having a virtual celebration of students. We had a contest based on our 2021 theme. Every year, the Kindness Committee creates a theme that people use to celebrate the year. So our theme for 2021 is Counting on Kindness in 2021. And we invited our students in the Unified District, as well as in Western County and some of the community-based organizations, to submit essays, poems, spoken word, rap, videos that promote this theme of Counting on Kindness in 2021. We have an awards committee that's part of the team, and they selected 12 students that were noteworthy of receiving awards in celebration of kindness. And in our virtual program that will be on Saturday, January 16th, you will get to hear and see these submissions by our students. We have a Facebook page, a kindness Facebook page, and you can preview some of those submissions by going to our page. But we will, on Saturday, January 16th, present the student awardees four times. It will be the program will be run four times during the day. At 10 a.m., we will run the program, and we will run it again at 1 p.m., again at 4 p.m., and again at 7 p.m. on January 16th. So people can watch it throughout the day, you know, depending on their schedules. We wanted people to be able to see these fabulous students who have won kindness awards. And I don't know if you have questions up to this point, Joe. I can continue on if you don't have any questions.
But no, I was fortunate enough, you know, to be principal and superintendent, and I always look forward to those Saturdays with joy and anticipation. And what struck me is kids were getting awards for kindness from first graders.
Absolutely.
All the way up to high school seniors.
Absolutely.
So that was pretty special. And I think it was like an ideas collection, because kids were coming up with really creative ideas on how to be kind. I know the principal, Nicole Mays at K-Tech East, who is a great friend, would get on the intercom every morning and say, okay, students, tell us how you're going to be kind today. Everybody, think of one kind act that you can do just today. So the last hour of the class, the last minutes of the day, 2:55 or 3 o'clock, the last teacher would ask the kids, okay, how are you kind today? Share with us. Give us one thing, one act of kindness. And when kids went home at night, parents around the dinner table or wherever would know to ask their kids, okay, share with us, how are you kind today? Okay, mom and dad, how are you kind today? Aunt and uncle, grandma and grandpa, whoever. So kindness shouldn't be random. And
absolutely.
I think that's what's so special, Adeline, about you and Reverend Arrington and the people who started this program. because it shouldn't be random. It should be a practice. It's practicing peace. It's practicing kindness. And we all know we get better with practice at whatever we do.
Absolutely.
So go ahead, Adeline. I didn't mean to go off on a tangent, but
it's kindness special. Kindness is always in order, Joe. It's always in order, kindness. So I appreciate your comments, because kindness does matter always in our communities. If I could continue on about the awards, we have three categories, recognizing that there are various levels of students. We have awards for elementary students, we have a level for middle school students, and we have a level for high school students. So you'll see presentations from those three categories of students during our program. So I'm looking forward to our first virtual foray into a celebration of kindness in Kenosha. During Kindness Week in the past, and also in 2021, Gateway has been one of the front runners of celebrating Dr. Martin Luther King through their annual celebration. And they too have had to pivot, and they are doing a virtual celebration of Dr. King this year. And they have a theme which is called Response, Resiliency, and Restoration. And their speaker is Dr. Tammy Summers. She's the Vice President of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at Gateway. This program will be on Monday, January 18th, 12 noon, virtually, and it will be live. It will be a live virtual program. So everyone is invited to tune in to that program, not in person, but on Gateway's website, you'll be able to access that program. And they will once again give their humanitarian awards, as they do every single year and have done for the last 27 years. So Gateway's program has been in existence for longer than our Kindness Week. These are longstanding programs that celebrate Dr. King, his message of tolerance and peace and kindness. So we're looking forward to seeing Gateway's virtual program. Then on Wednesday, January 20th, the museum, the Kenosha Public Museum, will be participating in Kindness Week through another virtual program that they call Museum Munchkins. They want to get the younger kids involved in a celebration of kindness. And so they have a Facebook page. The Kenosha Public Museum has a Facebook page where they'll be engaging with young people. And I'm saying people, kids who probably aren't even school age yet. And their celebration is going to be talking about animals and the symbiotic relationships that animals have, that they help each other just kind of instinctively. And we can share and mimic some of the things that animals do to be kind and help one another. So that should be a really interesting program for the little ones. We're looking forward to seeing that program. And that'll be at 9:30 a.m. on Wednesday, January 20th. Mm-hmm. And then every year, as part of Kindness Week, we have a Courageous Conversation, and this is sponsored by the Coalition for Dismantling Racism. So on Thursday, January 21st, from 6 to 8 p.m., the Coalition will be sponsoring a Courageous Conversation, virtually, of course, and it will be on our Facebook page, the Kenosha Coalition for Dismantling Racism Facebook page. You can access it, and it will be live virtually. And the topic that we have selected for January is racism and colorism in the Hispanic Latinx community. Oftentimes, the racists or racism conversations that we have, they focus on Black and white issues, but there are other people of color out there who have issues and have issues with racism and other issues. And so we decided that we would reach out and focus on the Hispanic Latinx community and get their perspective on how racism impacts them. And of course, every year for Kindness Week, we ask people, not just during Kindness Week, but throughout the year, we like for people to show acts of kindness by donating non-perishable items to either food pantries or homeless shelters. So we'll be asking people to do that again this year. Kindness is something that can continue beyond just Kindness Week. And so that's why we're encouraging people to do that. So That's what we have planned for our virtual celebration of Kindness Week in January 2021.
I think that's really special, and I didn't realize that historically this is the 25th year.
Yes.
That's just amazing. For kudos to you and Reverend Arrington and all of the people who began it, but it's tough. It's very, very difficult to create a tradition that stands the test of time.
Absolutely.
And continues for 25 years and is still going strong. So that's just awesome.
And I think that's attributable to our partners. I just want to say KUSD has been a partner with us from the beginning. Some of our players have come and gone from KUSD, but always there's a presence, and it's important because they have a large student body, and we want to promote the message of kindness throughout the year for the students of KUSD as well as the other school districts. So I just want to give, you know, a shout out to KUSD for being a major player in Kindness Week. And, you know, when you were there, when you were superintendent and principal before that, you were a part of Kindness Week. And, you know, currently Dr. Sue and her team are contributing to Kindness Week. So I would just want to say thank you, as well as our other partners. We've got the library involved. We've got the museum involved. We've got community-based organizations involved with our planning team. We've got United Way involved. I mean, it is a real community effort to bring about these virtual events, as well as the personal events that we've had in the past. So just wanted to make sure I gave credit where credit is due. The entire community contributes to kindness.
Well, we all appreciate all that you've done. And Troy, Adeline, you mentioned the Gateway celebrations that have been going back for a long time. And Brian Albrecht has been a community leader. But I have to put Troy on the spot because I never missed a single event in all those years. And the most inspiring speech I ever heard came from our own Troy McDonald. And Troy, can you take a minute? Do you recall that day? I still get chills, and I can picture you up there, and I think you had a white sport coat on. Am I correct?
Yeah, I did. Well, first of all, Joe, that I'm stunned by that. I really am, because that means the most to me, because you know how much I think of you and everything that you mean to this community. So for you to say that, so yes, I do remember that day, but my mother talks about it a lot too, but I have never watched it back. I thought I did terribly that day. It's one of my least favorite public things that I've ever done. And I guess I seem to be the only one who thinks that, because I hear the opposite from so many people. But I have not watched it back all these years later.
We're our own worst critics oftentimes, Troy. So I'm sure you did a fabulous job that year. If Joe is commending you, then appreciate the commentary, because I'm sure you did a wonderful job.
Well, I was pinned to my seat and I was like, holy moly. I can't believe this. I mean, I guess, you know, your humanity, Troy, and your youth just blew everybody away. And I think I was sitting next to Willie Days and Sharonda Glass, and we're all like, whoa. So kudos to you, Troy. That still is etched in my brain forever. And I don't know if you said it, but my favorite Martin Luther King quote is, even if I knew that tomorrow the world would go to pieces, I would still plant my apple tree. So I want to go out there and plant some apple trees in honor of Martin Luther King. But
absolutely.
Okay, Adeline.
Yes. Accurate.
This is WGTD Radio, Saturday Morning Education Matters. We're here with Adeline Green and Troy McDonald and myself, Jim Benji, and thank you for listening in to us. Adeline, can you talk a little bit more about Courageous Conversations in the Coalition? I mean, these have been some trying times.
Absolutely.
And you have been a calming force in our community to get people to be reasonable So what have you seen? What have you taken away from the events of the last several months?
Okay. Before I answer that question, Joe, I just want to go back to Courageous Conversations and say that the Kindness Week is only one component of what the coalition does. Courageous Conversations are another component of what we do. And we've been doing Courageous Conversations on a regular basis. During Kindness Week, once a year, we always throw in a Courageous Conversation. But starting in 2017, there seemed to be, for us, a resurgence of racism in the United States. Mm-hmm. And we decided to have more regular conversations with the community that we call Courageous Conversations, focusing on issues of race and racism as they pertain to our various institutions, such as healthcare disparities, law enforcement, legal system, education, employment. And we had a series of Courageous Conversations that started in 2018 on those various topics, inviting the community to come together. These were in person. These conversations are in person. We have large audiences that participate in these in-person conversations. The last in-person conversation we had, Courageous Conversation, was in January of this year, pre-COVID, and it had to do with the prison education to prison pipeline for our African-American students. And we had Dr. Dominique Pritchett and Dr. Michelle Hancock, who spoke on that. With the pandemic coming into play, we put a halt to our Courageous Conversations and had to pivot, as they say, and move into the virtual world. And with the things that happened in August in this community, with the shooting of Jacob Blake, we just felt the need that we needed to get out there and revive these Courageous Conversations, mm-hmm. even if they were virtual. And so on September 9th, we had our first virtual Courageous Conversation on the topic of race and the aftermath of the Jacob Blake shooting. And it got a good response. We still have lots of people out in the virtual world that are listening to our Courageous Conversations. It was an very unfortunate incident that happened in our community in August with the shooting of Jacob Blake. And it just really got people's attention because I think many of us were really surprised by this shooting happening in our own community. We were all made aware over the course of years of the various shootings of unarmed Black men in other communities. And I think George Floyd's strangling by a police officer really got people's attention. And so I think when that incident happened, people really started paying more attention to race and the things that happen in the African American community. But when it hits home and happens in your community, it's shocking, it's appalling, and it was really a rallying cry for the entire community to get together, figure out what is really happening in this community. And as a result of that, there have been so many organizations that have formed that want to see social justice. And it is a rainbow collection of people, young people, older people, white people, Black people, Hispanic people, a rainbow, as I said, of people who said, no more, we don't want this to happen anymore in our communities. And I thought that was encouraging. The protests in some instances went in a different direction. I like to believe that the tragic things that happened during the protests did not happen with the communities that here in Kenosha. I believe outside people came and did the burning and the looting and all that sort of thing, because in my experience, in my view, Kenosha is not that kind of community. Mm-hmm. The protests that were organized by people from Kenosha were primarily peaceful protests. And when the outsiders came in, then it got out of hand. But nonetheless, those things have raised people's level of awareness about racism and its impact on our community in Kenosha. And as you know, Joe, we get so much national negative attention about this incident that it was just amazing. There were so many people from all over the world, news media calling various ones of us to interview about, you know, what's going on in Kenosha? How do you fix this problem? Why did this happen? And one of the positives or some of the positive things that have happened, at least, as I said, people's awareness has been raised, and the mayor, the county executive, other leaders in the community have started to have listening sessions and conversations and trying to figure out how we can do things differently and better so that we include all members of our community. Because until we figure that out, until we address the issues of racism in our own backyard, we can expect these unfortunate incidents to continue. And so the coalition, basically what we've attempted to do over the course of years, is to bring awareness and attention to how racism presents itself, how it permeates through so many aspects of our society, to help people get an understanding of how other people live. You know, African Americans don't have the same view of the world as whites. Hispanics don't have the same view of the world as whites because our experiences are different. And we, people of color, experience racism on a regular basis in some instances, and we just see things differently. And we're trying to bring attention to the broader community of how racism impacts us negatively and things we should do, could be doing to improve the situation for everybody. And so that's the purpose of our Courageous Conversations, awareness, education, and, you know, consciousness raising so that people are pulled into action, you know, because action can happen individually, it can happen corporately. And so we just want people to come together and figure out, what is it that we can change in this community so that people are having access to the same sorts of services and opportunities that the majority community has access to?
I think it's wonderful what you're doing and the progress that you've made. I see the police department with an anti-bias training.
Yes.
For everybody, I believe. Goes back to the coalition for raising awareness and causing that. So with anti-bias training, do you think it'll make a difference? Is that part of the solution?
A start? Yeah, it's a start. It will make a difference if people accept it and have a change of attitude. I believe change happens when you believe that there are things that need to be changed. And so attitudes, I think, are number one. Attitudes need to be changed. You can raise people's awareness, you can educate them, but if they're not willing to go down that road of, you know, there's something wrong here. And we need to try to figure out, number one, what's wrong and what we can do differently. So I think attitudes are really, really important, because if you don't have the right attitude going into the bias training, then I think you're going to come out the same way. And so I think the message does need to come from the top, and everyone needs to be more open-minded and receptive to the fact that everyone in the community just does not see things the same way, and that some people's experiences are different. And you have to accept the experience of other people in order to bring about change. You know that it's valid. When someone tells you that they experience racism for a particular incident, then, you know, listen, be willing to listen and open up your particular viewpoint and see if there's some validity there. Because if we listen to other people's perspective, I think that's where the change will come. Training is just a piece of it.
How do you get people to have the courage to be part of a courageous conversation? And how do you maintain the wonderful work that you're doing? You know, I'm way older than the two of you, and I'm from a generation of a long time ago with Martin Luther King and John F. Kennedy and Bobby Kennedy in the 60s. And I've shared the story before that in January of 1964, it was 8 degrees above zero, and I marched down Wisconsin Avenue as a Marquette University student with Martin Luther King leading the way. And then he spoke at the old Milwaukee Auditorium and just wowed the crowd. So with Martin Luther King and then John F. Kennedy and then Lyndon Johnson, we thought, wow, look at the progress we've made. But then there wasn't any staying power, and racism continues to rear its ugly head and doesn't seem to ever go away. So how do we have staying power with the wonderful work that you're doing? What's different about this time? For me, it's the second time around. Mm-hmm. For people of my generation, what's different about this?
You know, for me, Joe, it just feels different. My husband and I have this debate about, you know, the civil rights movement of the 60s and the civil rights movement of the present. And I think it feels different. I think having young people is always beneficial because young people hold the future of our country, the future of the world. And I see so many young people involved in the protest movements for Black Lives Matter and for social justice, and not just young people, but young white people, because I think white people are the ones who are going to make a difference in the way we operate in this community as well as across the country. And there are so many young white people who are so part of this cause and this protest movement. Some of them, I've had conversations with some of them, and of course there's generational differences, but they think differently than their parents, for example. Mm-hmm. They see the need to change and to be inclusive and to make sure there's access and opportunity for everybody. And so I'm encouraged by what I see. I'm encouraged by the young people that are out there protesting, willing to make the hard decisions that will bring everybody to the table, because everybody needs to be part of the discussion. You can't make decisions about people, especially, you know, people of color, without having some people of color at the table helping to guide those decisions. And that's where I see the opportunity and the challenge, that in all of these listening sessions and this anti-bias training, you got to have people of color present and contributing to the conversation, because it impacts people of color, you know, the injustice, social injustice, and that sort of thing. It impacts people of color the most. And so we have to have, you know, rainbow coalitions, to use the term, of people at the table willing to do the hard work to bring about the change that we need in this community, in this country. So I just feel a lot of positive energy out there. I feel like the kids are really going to make a difference this time. That's my opinion.
I see that too, and I think it's pretty wonderful. So Martin Luther King again said, all people are caught up in an inescapable network of mutuality. Our loyalties must transcend our race, our tribe, our class, and our nation. And this means we must develop a world perspective. Being a former Peace Corps volunteer, I know that the whole world is looking at us. And what happens here transcends to countries all across the world. Everybody's watching us.
Yes.
So what you're saying, the energy of the youth, that transfers to energy of youth all across the world.
All across the world, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, and you can, yeah, you can see that in this particular movement, that all across the world, people see the need for change. People were protesting with the George Floyd situation all across the world, which was also encouraging to see. I just feel like there's going to be some impact this time around, hopefully, that we'll see a bigger change, a more positive change that includes people of all backgrounds, all races, because our strength comes from diversity, not from exclusion. I think the best ideas come from diverse people. When you bring different ideas to the table, you get really great solutions. You can't have a one-size-fits-all solution to the problems that we face. You just have to get the ideas and the input of everybody if you're going to improve the current situation.
I agree. I mean, we all need to be ideas collectors and work together for the future. And you're absolutely right about young people leading the way. There are future leaders. I think the fact that more Americans voted in this past election than any other election in history, I think that was a positive. And if you look at the incoming president's, a president-elect's cabinet, the diversity there is heartwarming. So yes. I think change is afoot. We just have to keep it going.
Absolutely.
When people ask, Adeline, how can they help? What can I do? What one thing can I do? And you talked about the book club that you have. We have a few minutes. Can you share your Rainbow Voices book club?
Yeah. You know, my thing is always, you know, being as inclusive as possible, being as diverse as possible, and building relationships across the spectrum, because I think that's where change happens. You know, when you get to know people, you find out that we have more in common than we have different. And so every opportunity that we have to have conversations with people, either one-on-one or in group settings, I think it helps improve the picture. And one of the things that happened after the George Floyd situation, I was really troubled by that particular situation prior to what happened in Kenosha. Who knew that was going to happen in Kenosha? And as I was walking one day, the notion came to me to have a social justice book club. And this book club would be inclusive of everybody because inclusion is important. It would be Black people, white people, Hispanic people, males, females, whoever wanted to participate in this book club. And the idea of a Rainbow Voices book club just came to me. And I reached out to some other people and they thought it was a good idea. And I partnered with a young white woman that I know, and we started Rainbow Voices Book Club in July of this year. And the idea was to bring all these different perspectives together, reading books about race and the impact of race on our various institutions, and then have a discussion. Because in discussions, you educate one another, you build relationships with one another, you become enlightened on another person's plight, and it just is helpful in general. So once we launched this book club, we have 100 people who signed up, 100 people of very diverse, you know, backgrounds, cultures. The majority of our book club members are white women. And we have a whole selection of books that we read and discuss every single month. And through this discussion, I believe that many of them have become enlightened. They want to know more. They want to see how they can contribute to the social justice movement. And so that's why I believe, you know, conversations and building relationships and helping people see things from other people's perspectives is really important if we're going to change things from what they are currently. And so We have been meeting for the last 6 months and having some really powerful conversations in this book club. I said there's 100 members of the book club at any point in time. These are virtual book clubs, of course, and we don't have 100 people show up at once because everyone's not available every single month, but we have between 25 to 40 people who show up on these virtual book club discussions, and we have some really, really powerful conversations, and people leave there with a different perspective once we have our discussions. And if you want to have some idea of some of the books that we've read, Joe, our first book we read in July was White Fragility, written by Robin D'Angelo. Mm-hmm. And it was really an eye-opener for many of our participants who talked, this book talked about, you know, how, why white people basically shy away from talking about race. There's a certain fragility, a certain reluctance to even talk about the subject. And so that's where we started. And from there, in August, we read a book called So You Want to Talk About Race by Ijeoma Oluo, African-American. The first author was a white author. This next book was written by an African-American woman. And she really went into a down and dirty kind of explanation of what happens to African-Americans and other people of color in the whole race spectrum. Mm-hmm. So September, we read White Rage by Carol Anderson. In October, we read Me and White Supremacy by Layla Saad. In November, we read Antagonists, Advocates, and Allies by Catrice M. Jackson. In December, our book club meets on Saturday, December 19th. It's coming, well, we met December 19th, and we talked about How to Be an Anti-Racist by Ibram X. Kendi. January, the book we'll be reading is The Hate You Give by Angie Thomas. So we have a whole variety of books that we read on the topic of race. And it's a book club that is a private group. If anyone wants to join, they would have to make a request through our website. We have a Rainbow Voices Facebook page. You have to make a request to be a part of it. So just wanted to throw that out there.
What's the website, Adeline? How can people join?
It is a Facebook page, actually. I said a website, but it's a Facebook page called Rainbow Voices Book Club. Okay. And so you would just go on there and make a request to join the book club. And like I said, we have 100 members at this point in time, but we welcome anybody who wants to join our conversation, because I believe that conversation and relationship building is how we get to know one another and address issues of concern and commonality to all of us. So just wanted to make people aware of that.
Well, I think that's wonderful. And the fact that everybody, you're practicing discussions, you're practicing courageous conversations, you're practicing listening skills. So we have 1 minute left. And this is Joe Manji and Adeline Green and Troy McDonald. And it's WGTD Gateway Radio. Adeline, any last thoughts? And thank you so very, very much. And thank you for being a leader, Troy. My goodness, thank you for all that you're doing. You know, when you run for president in 8 years, think of me as your campaign manager. So last thoughts, Adeline. Thank you so very much to you and Daryl and the Coalition for Dismantling Racism and all of the wonderful things you're doing.
I appreciate that, Joe. And my last thoughts are, you know, kindness matters. Continue to have conversations with people you may disagree with. Civil conversations with people. I think that's important that, you know, we have differences, but we don't have to be disrespectful to one another during those conversations. Build relationships and try to educate yourself. So that you understand that everyone doesn't have the same worldview as you.
I just smile and say, practice peace. So there you go. Thanks, Adeline. Thanks, Troy.
You're welcome.
Thank you, everybody, for listening.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
Support for classical music on WGTD comes from Piasecki Funeral Home. The staff at Piasecki Funeral Home can help you plan a meaningful funeral or memorial service. They consider it an honor to serve families in their community since 1931. KenoshaFuneralHome.com.
Support comes from Gateway Technical College. The new semester begins Tuesday, January 19th. Browse the program catalog and register online or in person now. Career counselors are available via phone, email, online chat, or Zoom video conference. You're listening to WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, NPR News and Classical Music. This is WGTD.